Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Looking forward to diving into 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm joined again by my son, Caleb. Good to have you, Caleb. And looking forward to a brand new verse here, verse 8, where the Bible says, Be not thou therefore. So the therefore is what we talked about last episode. That is that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, a sound mind. So if that be true, if that is who I am in Christ, then here's the behavior that should not characterize my life. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. So, Paul has spent seven verses encouraging, investing, reminding Timothy, but we get to verse 8 and Paul says, okay, stop it. Right?
Yeah, he gets right to the heart of the issue and he says, hey, I've noticed that you are ashamed. You're fearful to associate with the things of God, with the testimony of Jesus Christ, with the gospel, and you're also starting to be afraid of being associated with me. He's just attacking it head on. And sometimes, as as the discipler, he's not afraid to point out what is wrong in the disciple's life. And I think sometimes when we get into a discipler or disciple-y relationship, we have that, some of us have that relational aspect that we talked about a few episodes ago, but sometimes as a discipler, you're so concerned with that person liking you so much that you forget to point out when they actually are doing wrong. Because at the end of the day, it's not for them to like us, it's for them to be like Christ and for them to pursue him. And so Paul's not afraid to point that out.
Yeah, I think loving confrontation is one of the missing components in Christian ministry, and it's so essential. Think about a Nathan loving and confronting a David.
Yep.
Think about the verse there in Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So friendship is important, and one of the reasons why friendship is important is because in the context of friendship, we can say the hard things.
Yeah.
So throughout the Bible, you see examples of that. So what have we learned already? We've learned that this mentor, Paul, has done things like, Timothy, I love you. Timothy, I'm praying for you. Timothy, I love being with you. Timothy, you're real. I'm praising the good that I can. Let me remind you about what God's done in your life. Let me tell you who you are in Christ. You know, all of this has been mentorship, but all of it has also been prelude for, now, Timothy, what you're doing is wrong. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Timothy, what you're doing is you're acting in fear, but you're not acting in faith.
Yeah.
You're not acting like the person you are, a person of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah, that's good. And like you said, that I think loving confrontation really is something that is lacking. And it's almost as if in those moments, the discipler is acting, you know, in a spirit of fear of what that other person, how that person might react or what they might think of them. But as we're reminding them of, you know, who we are in Christ and what God has given us, we also need not to be afraid of what that other person might think. We need to be concentrating on what I know. What I know they're doing is wrong. What I know they need to hear is this. And so let me go ahead and they know we've established that that I love them. And now it's time to say the hard things.
It's interesting as well, Caleb, that it's easy for a mentor to take things personally. Mm-hmm. So think about what's happening here. Yeah. Timothy is shrinking away from Paul and identifying with Paul. Now, if that were me, I think I would be saying things like, Timothy, what is your problem?
Right. Look at all I've done for you.
Look at all I've done for you.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thanks I get. But Paul didn't take it personally. And Paul wasn't primarily concerned. He was concerned, but he wasn't primarily concerned about Timothy's relationship with him. He was primarily concerned about Timothy's relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. His prisoner.
Yeah.
So really what's happening here, Timothy, is I'm concerned about your relationship with the Lord first.
Right. It just, again, it's just reinforcing Paul's faith that he wants Timothy to follow. It's all about Christ. You know, I'm hurt, but what matters more is not my physical or emotional state. What matters more is your spiritual state and standing up for Christ.
And it's interesting how he framed the things that were causing fear in Timothy's life. Mm. So what were the things that were causing fear? Well, the intimidation of the Roman government, the way that persecution was ramping up, all of that, all of those things were causing fear in Timothy's life. But it's interesting how the Apostle Paul frames the causes of Timothy's fear, because he says, hey, this is the testimony of our Lord. Did the Lord face government persecution? Yes. Did he face unjust arrest and execution? Yes. Yeah. And then he said, and I'm his prisoner. So, Timothy, the things I'm going through, I'm going through because I belong to Christ. And then he said, you need to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. So the focus is, Timothy, I'm not telling you that following Jesus is going to take away these fearful elements.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what following Jesus Christ is going to frame these elements. So now you realize this is Jesus, and this is what my mentor is going through, and this is what the gospel entails.
Oh, that's so good. And, and I can almost just see Timothy as he's reading this. This is all this encouragement, and then it's very poignant. And he just goes right to it, and I can just imagine Timothy reading this and just saying, "You know, Paul's so right. I have come to a point now where I need to frame what's going on and understand that I don't need to be." Controlled by my fears, I need to be concerned with the propagation of the gospel with Jesus Christ. And he said, and to be a partaker of the affliction, or, you know, I might suffer, but, you know, according to the power of God, and I'm going to be his prisoner. And that's not something to be ashamed of. So I need to stop being controlled by my fear.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that it's according to the power of God. So what did Paul just told Timothy? He said, Timothy, don't take counsel of your fear, okay, because you have power and love and a sound mind. So now he comes back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The same power that saved you, that's the gospel, is the power that will sustain you. Mm. And that's what he goes on to say in verse 9. He says, according to the power of God who hath saved us, right?
Right.
And called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. In other words, God did not call you because you were especially equipped to serve him. Like he saw you as a brave, strong young man, and that's the guy I want to be the leader in Ephesus. No, God does not call people who are equipped.
He equips the called.
Right. Yeah. He equips people who are called.
He said, Timothy, stir up the gift of God. It's not your gift. It's what God has given you. And he just keeps reinforcing, reemphasizing this.
He's hammering it.
Yeah.
You have power. He saved you. In a sense, he is saving you. That's what sanctification is. It's salvation from the power of sin. So greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So verse 9, he saved us. He called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, I don't know that we can even understand when God begins to talk about eternal things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think, because we operate on a timeline, a time frame. It's so hard for us to even understand that.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that God has purposes in eternity by his grace, and he's using us in that process. But far from feeling ill-equipped or feeling like we're on the losing side, what Paul is saying is, Timothy, you're part of this unfailing plan of God. Wow, what an encouragement.
Yeah, it's so humbling to think that, as you said, in light of eternity, it's what God has done according to his grace and purpose. What an encouraging thought that is, that Christ cares that much about us.
Verse 10, but is now, the purpose that God has for us, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So in other words, but we didn't understand all of this. Paul talked about the mystery and things that were previously hidden.
Hmm.
But Timothy, what do we now know?
Yeah.
We now know that all the power of God, all the purpose of God is wrapped up in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. We know the life he lived. We know the death he died. We know the resurrection that happened. Timothy, we are on the winning side because we have Christ and we know the story of Christ.
Right. Yeah. And despite what's going on in this world today, this persecution, if you choose to stick with Christ, like you said, he's abolished death. He has all the power. What we are committing ourselves to is a calling far beyond ourselves and to a much greater purpose than this world could ever offer.
What the greatest fear that people have is a fear of death. Jesus said, don't fear him that can kill your body. You fear him that can kill your body and send you to hell, right? In other words, have a healthy fear of God.
Uh-huh.
Don't fear man. Regardless of what man can do to you, don't fear that. And what Paul is saying here is Jesus abolished death. So you don't have to fear death, because even death itself would simply be a transfer to victory. Mm. So he abolished death and he has brought life and immortality to light. So now what does that mean, to light? That means into perspective, into view. So in other words, what has Jesus done? Jesus has now, because we know him as the Son of God, because we know him as the Savior, he has brought life, this human life, and eternal life, and immortality, the forever life, into focus. So there's the sound mind. So we don't have to make decisions based upon the fear of being arrested today or even executed tomorrow, because in Christ we have eternity. Mm. We have immortality. You can never kill me.
Yeah.
You can never ultimately hurt me.
Yeah.
I have the power of God resting upon my life. So live in that reality, Timothy.
Mm. Yeah, and it's so easy in our fear to be so wrapped up and concerned on the temporary suffering or the temporary persecution might be, but to understand, like you said, in eternity we win. In eternity we have that life of Christ, and so the in perspective of everything, the worst thing that we can do is to not choose to suffer in those afflictions for Christ, because it's a life that we'll live for ourselves. And when we get to eternity, that's ultimately something we will be ashamed of.
I think it was John R. Rice years ago. I think this is the story that somebody put a gun to his stomach and, you know, threatened him. And he just said, "You can't scare me with heaven." I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is,
that makes for a good story.
It's an awesome response.
Yeah.
And my friends, God has a purpose for your life.
Yeah.
And he has given you his power. He has set his love upon you. And there's no reason for you to be ashamed of Christ or those that identify with Christ. God has a transcendent purpose for your life. And it's a wonderful, wonderful boost to your faith. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate you tagging along for a while. Look forward to our next episode together. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.